Well, good morning, church. It's been a minute. It feels good to be back up here. How's everybody doing on this rainy day? Hey, listen, before we get started, there's a couple things that I want to say. First, Pastor Rick and I just really want to thank our teaching team. We want to thank our ministerial students, and we want to thank our congregation. As we have been in a summer of renovation, as we have had time to focus a little bit on all the projects that have been happening here at the church and at the house, as we have had time to look ahead, as we get ready to celebrate Bridge Church's third birthday, and we look back at where we've been for 3 years, and we look ahead at where God would have us for the next 3 to 5 years. None of that time would have been possible if we had not had such an incredible team of teachers and ministerial students step up and teach throughout the summer. Amen, amen, and amen. Let's give them a round of applause. We thank God for them. And just so you know, you're going to see them pretty regularly. The goal is to have one of them up here every 4 to 5 weeks up here teaching. They're really good at it. They're learning and they're growing in that. And this church is not about one individual. It is a team. We're in this together. And so, and with that, I just want to take a moment and acknowledge God that we would be a congregation of 80 with 8 ministerial students. Blows my mind. God is so good. And so just how fortunate we are. The other thing I want to say is we get ready to preach the next 2 sermons because we've had a team teaching all summer long, and I'm getting ready to preach on what it means to transition well and leave well. We're not going anywhere. Everybody do a big deep exhale. I've already had somebody come to me this week and go, I read ahead. Are you guys going somewhere? No, we're not going anywhere except where God has us right here. So with that, I want to jump into this sermon. We left off last week. Alicia gave a great message on what it means to not, yep, absolutely, on what it means to not strike out, right? We had Moses, and he had reached the end of his rope at the end of the 40 years in the desert, almost to the finish line. He got frustrated and he lost it. And we learned in that partial obedience is still disobedience. And as much as he mostly obeyed God, he still disobeyed. We learned that God is the God of both justice and mercy, right? And that nobody is beyond consequence, no matter what your rank or stature is. Actually, scripture would suggest that the more responsibility God gives you, the more seriously he takes it. And so, and in God's mercy, the people still had water, even though Moses was disobedient. But in that, Moses wouldn't walk into the promised land. Now, can you imagine being Moses, doing all the things, working and dealing and struggling? How many times did Moses go to bat for these grumbling, fumbling, grumpy, grouchy people? How many times did Moses go, but God, they're your people. Just give them one more reprieve, God. Like, stay your hand. God knew what he was doing all along, but he needed Moses to step up for the people. And in the clutch, in his final season before he retires, in the final game of a tied World Series, Moses strikes out and finds out he's not going into the promised land. Everything he has committed his life for up to this point. And how's he going to handle it? How would you handle it? I mean, it's a pretty big consequence, y'all. It's not a little baby consequence. He didn't get put in timeout. Well, that's our launching pad for today. I think y'all are scared. They're like, oh, I'm not going to say how I'd handle it because, you know, I'm in church. Anyway, so as we look at how Moses handles this, I want to take us back and remind us last year we did a series called First Fruits. And one of the first fruits we talked about was the first fruit of placement. and that every shepherd is responsible to know, feed, lead, and protect his sheep wherever they go. And in that, we learn that our position is our assignment. It is not our entitlement. Our rank is our assignment. It is not our entitlement. It comes from God. No matter how hard we worked at it, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God owns it all, and it comes from His, and we shepherd it and steward it well as our placement and position. And that gets really hard when it becomes someone else's assignment. What do you mean, Pastor Jen? I mean, when the thing you have spent your career or your 10 years or your 5 years investing in, when you've poured your heart into, I don't know, a local theater, when you've poured your heart into a church, when you've poured your heart into a department at work, into a particular mission, and all of a sudden, it's somebody else's turn to take the helm. And you have to remember that it was never yours to begin with. It was the placement you had to steward well. But how do you handle it? Because leaders, the best of leaders, the great leaders, how we lead in that pivotal moment really, really matters. And that's what we're going to talk about today as we talk about what it means to lead to legacy, because the legacy we leave does not get built in the last 20 days. We lead to it the whole time. Amen? Amen? Moses has led to this the entire time, and he has to decide if one strike of a rock is going to derail his entire legacy, or if he's going to continue to step forward in all that with God he has built and done and obeyed and poured out. So I'd like to invite you guys to read with me. We're going to read Deuteronomy. We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 31 for our family online. We're going to be in verses 1 to 13. So I'll give you a minute to get there. It's also going to be up on the screen for our folks in the room. We're going to read verses 1 to 6 together. I know it's a little dreary out, but I need your big girl and boy reading voices as we step over here. All right. I heard an amen and a yep. Awesome. Okay. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy these nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. All right, so here it is. It's time for Moses to address the people. He's not going, but he's got to get them to go. He's not going, but there's a new leader that's going to take them. How does he handle it? He steps up first and he owns it. He says, I'm no longer able to lead you. I'm 120. I spent 40 years in the palace, 40 years in the pen, tending my father-in-law's flocks, and now I've spent 40 years in the desert wandering around. And he could say a whole lot of things, but that would take him back to his anger strike on the rock. So he just says, it's been 120 years and I can't lead you anymore. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. Now, I appreciate the fact that Moses owns it. He doesn't say, the Lord punished me and I don't get to go. He doesn't say, I messed up and after all I did, he doesn't have a tantrum in front of the people. He doesn't turn them against God. He doesn't try to petition or elicit a whole lot of sympathy because he's not getting to go. Would anybody else be tempted just a little bit to be like, can you believe I don't get to go with you guys? Like, I've been leading and feeding and dealing with y'all for 40 years now. But he doesn't do that, right? He owns it. He says, I'm not able, and God said I can't, so here we are. Now, I want to pause here and give a little aside, because I know this is a harsh consequence. And I want to encourage us, because it's really easy, as pastors and as good Christians, it's really easy to remind people to have an eternal perspective. I'm really guilty of it. I'm like a glass half full girl. And so I'm always looking at the cheery side of things and the what's the great lesson that came out of the really hard thing. My staff get really tired of it. And so in the midst of that, we don't always, as a matter of fact, we rarely get to see the eternal rewards, right? Because we live in a temporal world that's full of earthly trials and human consequences. Like, this is one of Moses's human consequences. However, we actually get to see the eternal reward or a glimpse of it on this one. Because if you fast forward to Mark 9 or Matthew 17 or Luke 9, you see Jesus, Moses, and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, which, by the way, is located quite squarely in the Promised Land. And not only is Moses there, but he's there with Jesus himself. And we see that reward there, and it's pretty cool. And so I just want to remind us that in the midst of the human trials and the consequences, there really is an eternal reward. And we really do serve a God that is full of mercy. And I will bet, I don't want to speak for Moses, okay? But if God came to me and said, you can drag your bedraggled 120-year-old bones across this river and crawl over with these people that have disobeyed you for 40 years, I'm going to set you on top of a mountain and watch my son be transfigured and hang out there for a minute. Which would you rather do? I'd be like, ooh, leave them, Joshua. They're all yours. Take them, right? I don't know. It's just me. Okay, that's really not even part of our bigger lesson today, so I'm going to keep moving. So somebody said, okay, come on, Pastor Jen. I know you've been out for 3 weeks, but let's go. All right, so he said, the Lord God himself will cross over ahead of you. As leaders, this is one of those lessons that has all kinds of theological implications, all kinds of theological truths, but this is also a super solid leadership lesson, no matter where you're at and where you serve. As leaders, when it is time to transition, take the spotlight off yourself and remind your people of the bigger picture. Moses has got to be afraid. He does not know what's coming. He doesn't know what his death looks like. He's watched his sister die. He knows his consequences. All these things are coming, but he sets aside his own fears. And he said, look, God himself, he's going to cross. I'm not going with you, but the God who gave me the staff, the God who parted the sea, the God who made the manna come down, the God who provided the water from the rock even when I messed it up, that God, he is going over ahead of you. And then he says, Joshua is always also going to go over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And that's another great leadership lesson, because in that moment, Moses endorses Joshua, and he also authenticates his leadership. Because he said, y'all are going to go. God's going ahead of you. Like, I am not the mission. I am not actually the leader here. God is the leader. And God's appointed one is also going to go because God said. So Moses is like, he's got my vote, but more important, God said he's the one. He's the one you're going to follow. And puts it right back on God's shoulders. The Lord will deliver you, so do not fear. Why do you think he needed to remind them of that? They just watched their human leader mess up to the point he doesn't get to go with them. And in that moment, Moses is both wise enough and brave enough to say, it's not on any man to deliver you because we fail. You just watched me do it, is the implication I see. But God himself will deliver you, so you do not need to be afraid. We all need to be part of a church family. We all need to be part of a church body. We have had sermon series on community. There are so many scriptures, Bridge Builders groups. You guys have experienced the transformation that takes place. But at the end of the day, none of that gets you into the promised land. Right? I mean, Moses is a picture of the law, and the law never gets us to eternity. Jesus gets us to eternity. Now, Joshua is a picture of Jesus. He's a representation in a loose kind of way of Jesus. You got the name thing going on. But I want to remind us of what we learned in Exodus 23:20. God said, I am sending a messenger ahead of you to prepare the way. God said, my name is in him. He has the authority to forgive you or not. We see what most people believe is the pre-incarnate Jesus go ahead of them into the promised land. And I would pause right here from the leadership lesson for everybody, no matter where you're at in the world, corporate or church, and say to each one of us as an individual, if the only thing you get today is that Jesus is how you get there, Jesus and only Jesus is how you get there, and by the way, Jesus doesn't mess up, then I'm good with that's the only lesson you've got today. He said, so let me jump back into the passage here. Matter of fact, I think I need to anchor in this. I'm a little too scattered for this today. So he says, God's going to go with you. He's going to send Joshua ahead of you. But by the way, even with Joshua going, be strong and courageous and not terrified, not because of Joshua, but because the Lord goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. In other words, let's take it back to the bigger picture. Let's take it back to the eternal perspective. No matter what you encounter, before the Jordan or after the Jordan, no matter what you encounter in the Old Testament or the New Testament, no matter what you encounter 22 years ago, or last week, or next year, the Lord is with you, and he will never leave you, and he will never forsake you, church. As a leader, when it's time for you to transition out of your position of authority, that is what you have to remind people. Whether you're a small group leader handing your group to somebody else, whether you're a ministry leader, whether you're in business and it's the corporate mission, you have a responsibility to do just what Moses is doing here. Not pointing to himself, but pointing to the bigger people and encouraging people, because your placement is an assignment and you need to steward your departure with great care. How do you handle it when it's time to move on? Your placement is an assignment. Steward your departure with great care. Have you ever left somewhere and wish you could go back now and get a do-over because you didn't leave really well? Yeah, that's what we're trying to fix here, y'all. Well, we're not trying to fix. That's what God's trying to show us. Let me just say that. So let's go into the next two passages, next two verses, Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8. Read with me. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. There is a whole lot of do not be afraid and do not be discouraged because of the Lord. Amen. God knows we need to hear that over and over and over. But back to the leadership lessons. So first, Moses summons the people, and he tells them what's going to happen. I'm not going, but God's going. And not only is God going, but God's sending Joshua. And you don't have to be afraid, and you don't have to be afraid not because of just Joshua, but more importantly, you don't have to be afraid because God, right? He's the one that's got it. It's on his shoulders. He's got it. Now, in front of all the people, Moses summons Joshua. See, God appointed Joshua, but Moses endorses his appointment in this moment. And that's important when you have people follow you. Y'all, step out of church. Step into work for a minute. For those of you who don't work in the church, step into work. When the boss puts a new person in charge of your department, it's not enough for the boss to do it. Those people have been working with you, following you, cheering you on. Be the bigger person. Endorse them. Step up and call them out as the leader. Do that. And do it well. I've watched someone really suffer last year because somebody couldn't do that. And they, well, okay, I'll get into that in a minute. Anyway, so God appointed Moses, but Moses endorsed, or I'm sorry, God appointed Joshua, but Moses endorses him in this moment. And ministry or business, that's an important lesson to learn because how you introduce your replacement really, really, really matters. Military folks in the room, every 2 to 4 years, you're going to move. And how you introduce your replacement matters. Your troops don't need divided loyalty. They need to know, okay, this is a good thing. They're on board so I can be on board. Not only does Moses summon Joshua, Moses charged Joshua. He said, you must go and you must divide up what they're going to get. Now, I love this. See, Moses is wise. Moses knows the trouble the people have been giving him. Did y'all catch what he does here? Like, there are 1,000 tasks that Moses could have named that Joshua has. Like, this was a chuckle moment for me in my studies this week. There's a lot Joshua's got to do to take care of these people and lead them. The one thing Moses calls out, you're going to divide up their blessing. And they better listen to you if you want them to divide up your blessing. Did y'all catch that? Like, Joshua is in charge of the inheritance. And that's the point Moses happens to make. He charges him with it. He's like, y'all, he's the one distributing what you're going to get. Got it? Pay attention in case you needed a little extra encouragement. Okay, nobody sees the humor in that. That's fine. I'm just going to suggest that Moses got Joshua some pretty significant buy-in in that moment. It's like when a teacher has to leave the room. Well, they don't do that ever anymore. But used to be when the teacher had to leave the room and they leave the student leader in charge, and they were in charge of the check marks or they were in charge of the smiley faces. They held all the power. Nobody remembers that from elementary school. Come on, okay, all right. He just gave Joshua all the rewards and all the punishments. Like, okay, there we go. But then Moses also empowered Joshua. He said, here's the mantle. You're going to lead them. I'm not going to be here anymore. But as much as leading is on you, the responsibility is all on God's shoulders. Because Joshua, you don't work for me. Moses, you work for God. And God's got you. And he reminds them again not to be afraid, not to be terrified. God's in charge and God's got this. We call this passing the baton. It's the moment where you take the authority stick and you hand it to the next leader. And leaders, we have to pass the baton decisively. We can't hem and haw about it. Moses can't go, all right, Joshua, you're going to take them after I say so, but follow what I told you to do, but go back, but you're in charge, but do what I said. Because that doesn't leave Joshua leading. He says, here it is. You got it. God said so. God's got you. You're going to divvy up the goods to them, move out. What would our careers look like if our former leaders had passed the baton more effectively to us? Or if we had passed the baton more decisively to the people who followed in our footsteps? We talk about letting the world know they're seen, known, and loved by God, and we cannot dissect that from the workplace. This is one of those times where, as Christians, we don't take the high road, we take the Jesus road, which is much better than the high road. And we transition our authority well because it was God's authority to start with. Remember, we're stewarding our placement. Pastor Rick, is it as quiet online as it is in the house? I'm just checking. All right, just checking. So the passage goes on in verses 9 and 10. He says, so Moses wrote down this law and gave it to the Levitical priests. Now, by the way, that was no easy task. When it says Moses wrote down this law, it means Moses wrote down the Pentateuch. Moses wrote down the first five books of the Bible because everything was verbal up to that point. Moses, at the end of it, I'm sure he had notes and all the things, but at the end of it, Moses dedicates himself to making sure they had what they needed. Moses writes down the law and gave it to the Levitical priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them at the end of every 7 years, in the year for canceling debts during the Festival of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, you shall read this law before them in their hearing. Actually, will you guys read verses 12 and 13 with me? Assemble the people, men, women, and children, and the foreigners residing in your towns, so they can listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and to follow all the words of this law. Their children who do not know this law must hear it and learn to fear the Lord your God as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So Moses takes all the time to write on scrolls all of this. Remember that education that God had for him in the palace? And he writes it all down and he says, here's what you're going to do. You guys have this big feast every 7 years where you gather to remember God's provision for you in this wilderness. And at that spot, you're to read the law to everybody, to women, to children, to those who are residing among you. They need to hear and to learn and to carefully have taught to them so they can fear and respect. I say fear and respect because the fear is that, we've talked about it before, when it says fear the Lord, it is that moment of stepping up to the edge of the Grand Canyon and that awe you get. Like, I can't even imagine this. You're like, well, I don't know about fearing God. Should we fear God? I don't know. He created the whole universe with the word. That's a lot of power. He's full of mercy. He's full of love. He gave everything for us, but I can't fathom him. So I've got a healthy level of awe and respect. And yeah, I would say if I came face to face with God, I'd probably drop. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Anybody else in the room? Just think. Can only imagine. There's a whole song about it, y'all. But Moses says, in this important time as you gather to celebrate, I need you to remember and to teach the who, the how, and the why. You need to gather the people together and you need to give them the living word so that they can go forward and walk in the promises that God has for them. You see, the temptation at this season of life for most of us is that we want to talk about all the things, we want to reminisce about all the things we've done. We want to reminisce about all the awesome things. And that's really not what we're supposed to do in this season of transition. It's not to focus on all we did. It's to focus on how people move forward and how they do it well. Moses could have stood there and recounted the Red Sea and the plagues. He could have recounted the water and the manna. He could have recounted so many miracles. And instead, Moses says, don't learn from me, learn from God. I'm not going to point at me, I'm going to point at God. And every 7 years, you need to recount the who, the when, and the where that all points to God. And it's not about, look at how I live such a great life. It's about, let me teach you how to live such a great life. What we leave with people shouldn't be about what was, it should be about what can be. We said a few weeks ago, it's not about creating landmarks, it's about building legacies. And by the way, I'm not saying don't celebrate. Leaders, if you've been a good leader, If you've been a great leader, people are really going to celebrate. But even if you've been a good leader, everybody likes a party. They're going to celebrate you. It's going to be okay. They're going to throw you a party. There's going to be cake. There's going to be nice things said. There's going to be all that. But you don't have to be the one doing it because God will take care of that. You need to point to the one who put you in the position in the first place. Moses put something in place here that isn't just for the people standing in front of him. And it's not even for the generation after them. He said every 7 years, for here on ever after, make sure the people know that God will never leave them nor forsake them. Make sure the people know that God will deliver them from slavery and captivity into freedom. Make sure the people know that while God is a God of justice, he's also a God of mercy. Make sure the people know that God will lead them by pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. God will not leave them without answers. God will not leave them without provision. God will not leave them without love. God will lead them. And every 7 years, when you celebrate how they've done that thing, how God's done that thing, every 7 years, then you read this law and you remind them and let the new people that came in hear it and let the littles growing up hear it, because they're going to need not Joshua, not Moses, not David, not the next 30 leaders. They're going to need God to carry them for all the generations to come. And church, if you're not pastoring, you still have that responsibility in your homes with your friends to the point they will let you. You are not to berate them or beat them over the head with the word of God, but with your children to raise them up in the way they should go. But this lesson is for every one of us. Because whether it is the word of God or what people need to keep going forward in the workplace that should be built on character and integrity, on justice and on mercy, all the principles that we learn in this that God tells us to carry into the workplace, even if we can't call out Jesus, that is what we need to leave the next generation of leaders with. And whether it is ministry or mission, whether it is nonprofit or business, what remains when you walk out the door matters. And it matters as much and sometimes more as what was there when you were in the building. Because at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, will your life be more about all the big fish you caught? Or will it be more about all the people you taught to go fishing? Leaders, whether you are leading in the church or in the home, in industry, in the courtroom, in the classroom, no matter where you lead, godly character. Teaches us to teach people and teach them how to live. And the legacy you leave is not just a nice thing and it's not just a cool wordplay on our name. Your legacy is your assignment. And you have to leave people their future, not your past. Too often, leaders want their name on a building or their name on a program, and they care so much about what their past was. And God calls us to lead in a way that points to the future of others. Part of celebrating Patriot Day tomorrow is not just grieving what was lost, but celebrating all those who stepped up and who sacrificed, all those who helped out about a nation who was inspired to come together and how it would shape future generations. And far more than the people that died that day or in the years to follow, is the foundation that we are one, we are together, we are more together than apart. As Christians, it is so much more than that. Because our patriotism as a nation will ebb and flow. We all see that. Wait another year. Oy, elections. But our belief in a kingdom and a God and a Jesus who saves, in a true freedom and deliverance, in a true eternal life that is then and there, but also here and now. That's what really matters. So the question I have for us today as we lead, because we're leading to legacy the whole time, is who or what does your leadership journey point to? Whether you're at home or at work or in ministry, who or what does your leadership journey point to? And I want to encourage you to leave a legacy of life that points to Jesus. Amen, church. Would you stand and pray as Leonard comes up to lead us in prayer?
Please join me in prayer. Father God, we just thank you for that word that we receive, Lord, and about leadership, Lord, and our assignment, Lord. And let us understand, Lord, that we are your walking billboards, Lord, that what we say in our homes as we lead on our jobs and what our conversations are, Lord, that people are looking, Lord, and they're paying attention, Lord. And our assignment is to point everything to you, Lord, that even when we're talking about situations or problems in our lives, Lord, that our answer is always, that happened but God, Lord. Mm-hmm. That everything points to you, Lord, that we're invisible, Lord. Lord, we ask that you be with us as we leave, Lord, that we remember every one of these wisdom in the wilderness points, Lord, that everything is about you, Lord. And we ask this in your precious and mighty name. Amen.